said during the press conference that you weren't, you're not a gamer, you haven't played them at all. But I mean, you've been kind of retired from in-ring competition for quite some time, and you're still pertinent. You still matter. Fans have created you in previous games. Like, if you go on the internet, they have created you in every single WWE game. So how does that feel to, like, still be loved?
Just awesome, man. It really is. Yeah, I never played them. In fact, the first time they were in a game, somebody from the UK sit down and filmed how they could put my thing together, you know, my character in it. You know, they did it sort of in a secretive way. And so that led to something. We got that all settled, and you know, we're doing everything on the up and up now with the for the character being the game. But I don't know, man. The best way for me to answer that question is to, you know, what would you feel like, you know, to do something in 25 years? I mean, while you're doing something like that, you're not thinking, you know, 25 years from now, they're going to have a video game and they're going to put this character in there and people are going to like it and they're going to love it. They're going to want to mess around with it. The energy of it's still going to be, like you say, pertinent as a as an entertainer in the business. People are still going to have fantasies about, man, what if that character, like they do today, you know? Yeah, what if Warrior was here today, you know, versus whoever? And there's just no way to explain it. Other than it's just very humbling to have done it, man. The character was, it makes me think about a lot of different things, and I've said this many different times today. It makes me think about who I was then, where my head was, what I did to succeed, what the business was like then, how it's different today, how I'm different today, what it's like to be older, what it was like to be that guy up and down the road doing what I was doing in the hardcore way I was. I think all that comes out. I think that's one of the reasons why the people, they're still, they like that character, you know. They still see that in my life, even if I'm not that guy, I'm still intense about things, and that intensity was real. All these years later, they go, man, if there, whatever he, that thing couldn't do, this is what he did, and that was real. And that matters, you know, to people.
How do you relish the opportunity to not only deal with the hardcore fans that are going to buy the game just to see you, but to be presented to a brand new generation of the younger fans who will buy the game and say, ooh, this guy, let's go maybe look up some old matches and then maybe have a whole new legion of fans?
Yeah, well, you know, this past year I went out and did some signings, and I mean, I stood there for 8 or 9 or 10 hours and didn't even take a break, and just people who were kids back then, now they're married, they're grown up, they got their own kids, they bring their kids with the faces painted. People send me videos, their kids doing like an Ultimate Warrior run or beating a chest, or they set up some makeshift ropes and have them shake ropes or whatever like that. It's awesome, it's good. You know what, man, it's good. It's just, you know, you think of so many different ways to describe things. Maybe that's just the best way. It's fucking good. It's good because, you know, kids need good stuff. Ultimate Warrior was good stuff, man. It was just good to get, let kids have that. They want to do that. They want to tear things up. They don't want to tear things up to make anybody mad or anything, but they want to be energetic. They want to express themselves. And it's important when you're little to be cool with doing that at times. And run, you were talking about that. If I ask you guys, I took you outside and I said, let's go for a run, you go, oh man, no, oh, how are we going to do this? Then you say, kid, you know, kids running around playing in the neighborhood, they just go for it. Mm-hmm. Let's get over there now. Run. You don't stop and think about stuff. And the Ultimate Warrior character was like that. He didn't stop and think about things, really. He just did them. He was the first character. He was a good guy, but he was a guy that didn't have to have be poked in the chest very long before he just turned into a bad guy. You know, I'm just going to take care of this. And today you got everybody in our culture. You go look, stand in a magazine rack and look at all the different magazines. Everybody's got the same smug, cocky, different kind of look on their face. Another example is that back in the day, a guy who had a tattoo, he was a bad guy because he had a tattoo. Now everybody's got tattoos today, you know, and they're cool, and they make them in decals, and the temporary tattoos, or they put them on their dolls and their action figures, and people go out and get their own just like it. So it's totally different. Yeah, the character, simply because of his energy, like that, would fit into something today. I mean, people miss those characters from back then like crazy, don't they?
Yeah.
Despite the fact, again, that you said before that you don't play video games, when this was announced, did you want to kind of have a front row seat and say, wait, no, I do the Gorilla Press this way, or, oh, my clothesline looks like this? Did you want to watch that process?
Well, no, people ask me about that. If this was the first video game I'd ever been in, it was my first licensing deal using that intellectual property, I may have wanted to do more of that, but through my own entrepreneurial businesses, I've learned I don't need to micromanage people who are experts at doing things that I can't do. They have skills and talents. And, let, you know, let's face it, how many video games have there been all along? How long have you guys been in the video games?
All my whole life. Mm-hmm.
And so how many different wrestling, I mean, just off the top of your head, how many different wrestling video games have there been?
Oh, dozens.
Easily. Yeah. 100.
Yeah.
And every one that's come out from the beginning, every successive one, you sit, you enjoy it, you get something out of it, right? You like playing it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing's going to happen. They're going to come out with other games, man. They're going to be upgraded and have different things in them. And, you know, in your lifetime, they're probably going to come out with games that are almost like virtual reality, man, where you can feel things and feel the breeze of a missed punch or something like that, or the blow of a clothesline. So, no, I didn't do that. I mean, shit, it's not the real thing. I could sit and pick apart stuff all day long. But what's the reason in that? That's stupid.
Right.
It's awesome, man, to see the character in there.
Now, I'm a video game fan, but I've been watching wrestling my whole life, too. A lot of people say WrestleMania 6, Hulk Hogan, Toronto is the best match you've ever had. I would argue that it's Warrior Savage the next year at 7. Is there a particular match besides those two that sticks out in your mind?
A lot of great moments, you know, because I was there, and that moments or things that happened that weren't even televised or on pay-per-view meant a lot to me, you know. I mean, I was there for 8 or 9 months before they actually put me on TV. That whole process of being behind the scenes and hearing the buzz and people from the office coming and saying this and this, you know, I'll tell you something, but don't tell nobody else. This is happening. This is the kind of response to your... At the time, the Dingle Warrior character, after I did my first television match, Ultimate Warrior, the what was happening there with merchandising and marketing. I mean, Hogan, to set up a WrestleMania, usually they had one of Hogan's best friends backstab him out of jealousy or envy so he could get a shot at the belt, because they didn't do babyface. But, you know, being told by somebody, a legitimate resource that, you know, your stuff is selling at the buildings better than Hogan's, and, you know, all that stuff. I would agree with you, the WrestleMania 7 match. WrestleMania 6, because it happened and the business was different, we set the match up where I pinned Hogan clean. That had never been done before. The two baby faces challenging one another, that had never been done. And, I mean, it was a statement in and of itself. People say, yeah, but the wrestling business was choreographed. I said, well, then the setup of that WrestleMania 6 match, it meant even more, because it was a company deciding we need to go where money is right now. And then all the urban legends that came out of that, you know, Hulk having a secret plan and everything, sort of destroying all of that and what was going on, that, you know, I wasn't drawing or this or that. You know, Vince typically went to the front page of the newspaper to get ideas, and the war broke out, and then the war, it was dying out, so he took advantage of it, and he did that, which led into the whole thing with WrestleMania 7. It was a double main event, and there was a whole thing, the other part of the urban legend about me holding Vince up, which isn't true, for money for the SummerSlam. It all had to do with who... I mean, at some point in time, what you have to understand is you guys look at it as fanboys, let's say, not to use that in a derogatory way, but there's a lot of business going on. And guys who make it to the top, you got to watch your business. And you watch your business by talking about your business and negotiating your business. It's not the same thing as just being a new guy there and getting paperwork and saying, look, you'll get this, you know, you'll make this kind of money and it'll be okay. And this, you know, won't give you less than that. It's not the same thing. Some things take place. So, yeah, there was a lot in the WrestleMania 7 match. But we experimented, me and Randy. I mean, awesome, you know, the five, what was it? How many press slams did I give him? Three?
three, and he gave you three elbows.
No, he gave me five.
Oh, five, right?
Yeah, I know, because we negotiated for a couple months. You know, we negotiated that whole thing. I mean, that's what you do, you know. I'll give you this if you'll give me that. I loved Randy. He was great to work with. He was just over the top and intense like I was. And we tried something different there, too, that where when I couldn't beat him, I couldn't pin him, and I walked outside the ring. I was looking at my hand and tried to carry the promo mystery thing outside, and you never know how that's going to go. But WrestleMania 7, when I went around with Andre, it meant a lot to me. You know, Andre the Giant. Andre doesn't do anything he doesn't want to do, and I went around the country and slammed him all over. You know, Hogan tells the story of slamming him one time, and yeah, he did and everything. Yeah, I slammed Andre all over the country, man, and went around and had a follow-up match and beat him in with the three clotheslines and ran to the ring. And, you know, Andre, I had a great relationship with Andre. It was incredible. And to be one of the last guys that worked with him. Rick Rude, working with him, man, it was beautiful to work with Rick Rude. He's a perfect character for me to build up the Ultimate Warrior, because he wanted to make the match work. He didn't want to take advantage.
Speaking of business, you started to get your first real buzz when you were working with Steve Borden in the tag team. Your guys' careers kind of paralleled each other a little bit. You know, you took down Hogan, he took down Flair. You ever think, like, both of you guys at your prime wrestling each other? What kind of business that would do? Or what kind of business it could have done?
I don't know that I really thought about it. You know, I was so caught up in doing my Ultimate Warrior character, and one thing I never did that a lot of the other guys did, because they liked the business, you know, they liked the wrestling business and paying attention to the rumors and all the gossip and all. They liked the work of the business. I never did. It just kept me to, it distracted me from doing what I needed to do, you know. So I kicked that stuff out. In fact, back then I was so good at it. I wish I could be better at it today. I was just incredible at kicking stuff out that was unnecessary, just getting rid of all the junk, all the unnecessary stuff. But I didn't really think about them being competitors. You know, the other guys didn't either. It is striking. You know, we ended up splitting, and this is something that I haven't told anybody else today, so you guys can use it and get it in there. You know, when we were at Watts, working for Watts, some things happened down there. But Steve was overall, he was better at taking instruction. He was better at being told what to do. That's not to, I'm not saying that to take anything away from what he did, the success he had, and success he still has, which, you know, incredible, still be in the ring. I think up to a certain point, I'll stay away from that. But how he developed as a character and how I developed as a character in the WWF, it's more... the development of what he did is more practical, because he was around practical people, not gimmicks. The WWF was an environment for gimmicks, to go over the top. And I feel very fortunate to be able to... I would not have survived in a place where I had somebody instructing me to tamp down who I was. To me, even going back to when I was a kid and I saw professional wrestling on television. I never had a dream to be a professional wrestler. I wanted to be a professional bodybuilder and a chiropractor. But the characters on Dick the Bruiser and the Crusher, just watching them on the black and white TV when I was growing up, you know, it was a business built for over the top. And it certainly would have been, you know, a money maker thing. I don't know why, you know, Vince can usually get what he wants. I don't so much buy that Steve said no to everything. I'm not so sure that Vince didn't think, and this will be different than anybody. I'm not so sure that Vince didn't think that, question or wonder whether or not Sting had the ability to be creative on his own and really become the Sting character in a way that Vince wanted his character. If that means anything, if you understand
sure.
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there's another couple matches left in the tank, if the Warrior were to come back to to the current state of the WWE. Is there any one person you'd want to mess around with? Get in the ring with?
Well, you know, people have asked me, like, who would I want to play in the game and stuff like that. If anything was going to happen, the best thing to do would be something between me and Vince, because there's such natural heat between us. It would be more non-wrestling based than wrestling based. It could lead to something like that. And, you know, that's not my goal every day, to wake up and do that. I'm still very much into hardcore exercise and stuff like that. My goals are different. If I had a certain amount of time, I could make something like that happen. I can never bring back that beast behind me. Which, you know, makes me think about a lot of different things.
Yeah.
You know? But Vince, I guess, to do an angle. You know, the best thing they ever did up there was between him and Stone Cold.
Yeah.
You know, that was freaking awesome, man. Bottom line. You have your own opinion about other stuff, but that was the best thing they ever did up there.
Sure.
The chemistry that they had with one another. And so, anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens.